Hey beauty, you're listening to episode 3 of the Beautifully You podcast. What is up, you guys? It's your girl Kayla, and welcome to the Beautifully You podcast, the podcast that will inspire you to live audaciously and unapologetically love yourself. This podcast talks about all things self-lovery, from self-love and self-care to mindset, personal development, happiness, and health and wellness. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about why your mental health and healing are normal, and why you shouldn't apologize for your experience in mental health. But first, I want to start off this episode by saying that your experience, illness, or trauma is valid. We get so used to trying to be everything for everyone all the time that we forget to take care of the one person that is the most important in our lives, ourselves. The pressure to be perfect has never been as suffocating as it is today. With perceived perfection posted all over social media on a daily basis, it's hard to turn off the comparisons. But I want you to understand that everyone must overcome adversities, and everyone has invisible struggles that you'll never be able to see. So when the feeling of not being good enough, or pretty enough, or accomplished enough, or successful enough begins to eat away at you, I want you to remember that your experience, illness, or trauma is valid. You don't have to apologize for your anxiety or worry, your depression or sadness, your OCD or your attention to detail, your body dysmorphia or your fears of never being good enough. You don't have to apologize for your mental health or your mental illness, and having one or the other does not make your experience more or less justified. Having a mental illness does not invalidate you more than if you didn't have a mental illness. So whether you're experiencing depression or sadness, anxiety or worry, body dysmorphia, or fears of never being good enough, your story is still valid. Having a mental illness does not justify your experience more than someone who does not have a diagnosed mental illness. Whether you have a mental illness or not, your story, your narrative, and your experience is valid. I believe that there are two types of people in this world: those who support mental illness and healing, and those who do not. Those who validate a mental illness diagnosis more than a person without one, and those who invalidate a mental illness diagnosis more than a person without one. Now, this isn't to say that everyone has a side that they dismiss and invalidate. This just means that we all lean more to one side. And I want you to think about which side you lean more to: supporting mental illness or dismissing it. 1 in 4 people have lived experience with mental illness at some point in their lives. That's 1/4 of the world's population. That is a huge number. So why aren't we doing more to advocate for those who struggle with mental illness? Why are we still seeing it as a flaw, a negative aspect, and something that needs to be fixed in people? It's so easy for people to validate physical illness. Like, if your cousin Bobby Joe has a broken arm, you're not going to tell him to suck it up, rub some dirt in it, or tell him he's being dramatic and just needs to take a chill pill. You're going to take him seriously and offer him empathy and support. It's easy to visualize what it must feel like to have a broken arm and how difficult it must be to live a normal life because of it. But when someone has a chemical imbalance in their brain and are struggling with mental illness because of it, or are healing from an experience or trauma that happened to them, the empathy and support seems to diminish, and the illness is no longer taken seriously. When someone can tangibly see what's physically wrong with someone, the entire narrative changes. Our opinion of how severe an illness is changes. The problem is, because people can't see mental illness, they think it's not valid or severe or as deteriorating as physical illnesses, when there are many times when mental illness can actually be more life-threatening than physical illness. And 4 of the 6 leading causes of years lived with disability are attributed to those with neuropsychiatric disorders. So those are disorders that are like bipolar disorder, depression, anxiety, alcohol use disorders, and schizophrenia. I grew up with a lot of pressure to be perfect. I was adopted from a Eastern European woman, and I always wanted to make my parents proud. My parents don't believe in medicating mental illness. They believe in deciding not to be so soft and grow a backbone. This, however, has never been my belief. I always had a passion for helping others who struggled with their mental health and validating their experience. But it caused me a lot of cognitive dissonance when I began struggling with my own mental health. I couldn't be open and honest with some of the people that mean the most to me because mental illness was never seen as a chronic condition to them. It was seen as a choice, a weakness, and a flaw. And I didn't want to be seen as something that needed fixing because I never thought that I was broken. And I didn't want to be labeled as something that was imperfect. But I wasn't broken. And neither are you. You don't have to apologize for being negatively affected by the things that no one else seems to be affected by. I know that when you deal with a mind that overthinks, overworries, or overloves, it can be easy to be convinced that these things are normal or silly, or you just need to snap out of it. It can be easy to invalidate yourself while trying to make yourself feel more normal. But this mindset only makes you feel less normal in the end. I have generalized anxiety disorder, and it was something that went undiagnosed for so long. And it's funny because I spent my whole life advocating for other people's mental health, and I worked in social work specializing in psychiatrics and mental health, but I couldn't identify my own mental illness because I invalidated and normalized my experiences for so long that I was unable to identify that I was actually having symptoms of anxiety. I've always been a super anxious person, having clammy hands during stressful situations, upset stomach before job interviews, inability to stay focused during conversations, restlessness during exams, persistence irritability, ceaseless negative thoughts, and having exaggerated responses to loud noises and minor surprises. This was my reality for so long, but I was so used to feeling this way that it became my normal. And I learned to function at a baseline with all of these symptoms. I'm a very outgoing, bubbly person, so I don't fit the stereotypical normal for someone with anxiety. So people automatically invalidate how serious my anxiety is because I was able to carry myself so well for so long. But the problem here is that the majority of mental disorders are invisible. People who don't have lived experiences with mental illness can't see the war going on inside the head of the person with the mental illness. And so, when you see somebody like me who has high-functioning anxiety, many people begin to think that it doesn't affect my life at all, or my relationships, or the amount of adversities I face because of it. But it's so important to understand that just because somebody's struggle isn't visible to you, that doesn't mean that it isn't there. It doesn't invalidate that person or the seriousness of their experience. If you're like me, you've probably been told that you're sensitive or emotional or a worrywart or are overwhelming or dramatic. But these things are not who you are. And I need you to understand that you don't have to apologize for these reactions from other people that make you feel like you're hard to love, or flawed, or need to change the way you exist. You don't have to add extra pressure or weight on yourself by convincing yourself that you're broken or unworthy. the way that you feel is not your fault. And it is not something that you can just turn off or ignore or heal. Anxiety disorders, for example, are the most common mental illness. Anxiety disorders are highly treatable, but only about 36% of people with anxiety disorders receive treatment. Why? One word. Stigma. Stigma is the immobilizing thing that disables people from receiving treatment in fear of how other people will treat them. It's the thing that causes lack of understanding and apathy from family, friends, coworkers, and other people. It's the thing that causes people to have a harder time finding and keeping work, school, and social activities. It's what causes the belief that you'll never succeed at certain challenges or that you can't improve on your situation because of your mental illness. And it's the leading cause of bullying, suicide, and body dysmorphia. It's the leading cause of why so many people are trying tirelessly to fit inside this perceived illusion of what is normal. But let me tell you something. Normal does not exist. There's normals within society, cultures, religions, and social groups, but overall, there is no universal normal. So you're running around in circles, burning yourself out, and chasing something that doesn't even exist. You're never going to get to the destination of normal because it's not a person or a place or a thing. It's just an illusion. What's normal to you probably isn't normal to me or someone from Iceland, China, or South Africa. Our normals are defined by ourselves, our societies, what we are surrounded by, and the boxes that we put ourselves into. Your worth is not defined by your ability to look a certain way, act a certain way, and feel a certain way. Your worth is defined by your ability to recognize that the only thing that is normal is what you create it to be. So what's stopping you from creating your normal? If you like this episode, please hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And please, please, please share this episode on your stories on Instagram and tag this podcast to share this episode with other people and hopefully inspire another person the same way that it has inspired you. I appreciate you, and don't forget to audaciously and unapologetically love yourself today. See you next time, beauty.